Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the new screensavers is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. The new screensavers is brought to you by Audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, go to audible.com/NSS. And by Squarespace. Squarespace is the simplest way to create a beautiful website or cover page for your portfolio, your business, your online store. Enter the offer code NSS and get 10% off.
A 360-degree view, a look through the Oculus Rift, and it's alive. Leo flips the switch to the ultimate virtual reality gaming machine. Live from the Twit Brick House in downtown Petaluma, it's the new Screensavers.
For that great show up. And hey, how you doing? Welcome to the Screensavers.
It's good to be here.
I Alex feel like I was Lindsay, just here. Leo Laporte, you were here for Mac Break Weekly. But have you ever done this show?
Once before.
Okay.
I think we actually started drinking because that's what I do.
That's right. And many years ago, you were on the Screensavers all the time.
Yep, absolutely.
This is episode 47. I can't believe we're coming up on our one-year anniversary.
Come back.
For Saturday, April 2nd, 2016. Did you get bit by any April Fool's jokes?
I didn't get bit. I just kept on telling myself. I was walking around just going, It's April 1st. So every time everybody said anything to me, they were like, would you like lunch? I'm like, no.
April 1st is like, that's just a joke. It's the only day of the year where people actually think they can, there's things you can't believe on the internet.
You don't believe anything on the internet.
It's just the one day of the year where everything you go, else, I was on the internet, I don't believe it.
Because everything else before and after April 1st is true. It's absolutely true.
Yeah. You know who got bit? Google.
Yeah.
With their stupid mic drop thing. Did you see that? So they modified I didn't see it because they pulled it before it even got to the West Coast. They launched it April Fool's Day on the East Coast, and so many people complained. They changed Gmail. So, you know, normally you have a send and a send and archive button. You have two buttons on your Gmail. And they replaced the send and archive button with what was just an icon, which turned out to be send and mic drop, you know, where you go like this. You lay it down, and you're so good, nobody else is like, boom. So what would happen if you, and apparently a lot of people have muscle memory, after send, they press send and archive instead of send. So they were pressing send and mic drop for business mails and stuff. It would insert a Minions animated GIF of a Minion going mic drop, and then apparently would block all replies. Because you did a mic drop. There's nothing more to be said.
Sure, it seemed funny, but
Seemed like a good idea until people use it for their business.
As soon
mail,
as you take it serious, as soon as you take
like,
your mail serious.
Oh, crap.
I don't take my mail.
So it was launched when we were asleep, and we didn't even see. They pulled it before we even got it. So only people on the East Coast got bit by that April Fool's joke. That's dopey. Coming up, this is a major day. This is our VR day. The Oculus Rift is here. It actually came a little sooner than we thought. So we rushed ahead and finished the ultimate virtual reality game machine so we can install the Oculus Rift today. There it is. And we have a video of me doing the final screws and and believe me, while the video goes fast, it took me like 3 days to get this thing exactly right. It didn't come on the first time. Always when you build a PC, you hope it'll start when you push the on button. Turned out it was a minor thing. There are two power connectors for the CPU from the power supply, not for the motherboard, not just one, and we only plugged in one. No problem. Found the second one. Carson caught that, right? Because you'd done that. So then it booted. I'm jumping up and down. And then, it was a long tail. I hadn't really mounted the SSD properly in there. It was screwed in, but it wasn't apparently making the electric connection. And everybody said, no, I'm sure it's fine. Finally, that was it. So we went back. We screwed that in. And then there was a few BIOS settings. Ryan Schrat helped a lot. We'll talk to him in a second. But it's running. It's running great. It's perfect. Everything's working perfectly. So we're ready to install the Oculus Rift. We'll do that a little bit later on. We're going to be joined not only by Ryan Schrat, by Peter Rubin, who's a VR expert from Wired. He's going to help us talk about how Oculus actually did this from day one. And now, it's one thing to consume VR, but you have brought some stuff to make immersive video.
I kind of brought both ends, the easy end and the.
Are
the
we recording end. Now?
With We're the... not recording now. We're just going to record some segments.
Okay.
That we'll put up later.
So we have brought from Nokia. This is the OZO camera. How much is that?
The retail is $60,000.
$60,000.
Yes, we like to. Yeah. It's. But it's.
But it's recording when it records everything that happens in a all around in a sphere.
Exactly.
And is the audio also spherical?
Yes.
See, that's the key.
It is the key. And yeah. And it's there's eight mics on it. And so it's able to gather
nice.
a lot of the sound. And that's actually one of the most impressive parts of it.
Here's one of the least impressive parts. We used it on Tuesday on Mac Break Weekly. Is that video done yet?
Celery and carrots is just the base of a soup. You know, we
You told me 4 hours per minute of video and rendering time alone.
Well, and then what happened was we got there and we realized when we got home we didn't have enough hard drive space, so then we had to order some more hard drives.
You had to buy more hard drives
so
to do this.
The files that come off of this aren't very big, but we wanted to get the highest quality, so we wanted to convert them to what's called DPX frames instead of
wow.
JPEG, and because we did that, we ended up with eight of those. And,
Alex doesn't do anything
right. And so we
second
know,
rate.
So we're working on it.
That's good. No, we'll play with it today. That's
we should
awesome.
Have it by the next Mac Break.
And Alex has a less expensive 360-degree
yes.
camera.
We should show you as well.
But first, let's talk about the news. We mentioned April Fool's. You know what? I have a feeling there were fewer April Fool's jokes this time around. People, like, kind of got... Like, I didn't see a lot of weird stories.
I was waiting. My mom, it is like her favorite day
Alex,
of the year.
I heard...
I think she works on it for months. I still haven't heard the
stories. She pranks you.
She pranks one of us, usually, every year. And it's usually well
like
thought
what?
Out, well planned. Oh, you know, it'll be someone's taking away the house, or she wrecked the car, or but you got to get. She thinks through the whole story.
So
you
she's
know, there's
got
like
it.
A there's like exactly all the little details, and she, you know, all the run on that you're used to hearing is all tied into the joke. But I wasn't a victim this year.
Our friend Johnny Jett, who does the travel bit on our radio show, and he's been on this show many times, posted this image on his Facebook feed. Can you see that? How many babies are in there? It looks like three. And Lisa comes running in and says, "They're having triplets." Apparently Johnny is also like your mom, does this every year. He is brothers and sisters. He and Natalie are having a baby.
Right, but not three.
Just one of them. One at a time. It's always the
best. They're having a baby, and they have Photoshop.
The Department of Justice also said, April Fool's to Apple. We've decrypted the phone. Never mind. We're sorry we bothered you. Just pay no attention. Go back to whatever you were doing.
But, of course, it was only for that case, right? Just the San Bernardino
well,
case.
Well, now, apparently, they've agreed to unlock the iPhone and iPod in an Arkansas homicide case.
Oh, right.
They've got a technique.
Not for the only case.
I just saw now the Cellebrite, the Israeli company that was rumored to be helping them, and then everybody said, no, it's not, apparently was involved in this. And maybe they've got a technique because others are going to use
I'm
Apple.
I'm waiting for the press release that says Apple has purchased the Israeli company.
Apple's actually thinking about suing the government because they, I think reasonably so, say, well, if there's a flaw, we need to know that.
Right. I think just purchase the Israeli company.
Just purchase Cellebrite.
It's $100 million.
They got the money.
Give them $100 million. Call today.
Give them a billion.
Yeah.
Why be cheap at this point?
Exactly.
Understandably, the Apple wants to know if there's a security flaw, not so much to shut down the FBI, but they just say, well, if there's a security flaw and it gets out, others will be vulnerable. We would like to know so we can fix the security flaw. The FBI hasn't decided yet whether they're going to hand it over to Apple. But if I'm the FBI, I'm thinking, no, hell no.
I have to admit, I wouldn't.
I can get any phone I want.
After Apple told me they're not going to help me, I don't think I would necessarily
right.
hand that back to them.
Right.
It's kind of, I didn't think Apple should hand it over to them, but I also don't think the FBI has to hand it out. But I do think Apple's just buy the Israeli company because they probably have, if they figured it out, they probably got some smart people.
They said they could crack iOS 8. They haven't said anything about 9, but yeah, absolutely. Those are the people you want
just get them
working
in,
for you. Yeah.
Getting them into the club.
Yeah. It's owned by a big Japanese firm that has some money.
So buy them,
so.
Too.
Okay.
Apple, you know, it's not...
$200 billion they in the bank.
They can offer them. I mean,
I read it.
It's probably a big Japanese company, but I bet you it's worth less than $1 billion.
You're probably
just
right.
Saying.
Also, we were at Build yesterday. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley did Windows Weekly from the big Microsoft Developers Conference. Paul was gruntled. He was a little gruntled. In fact, if you see pictures of Paul, he was very gruntled because Microsoft... Yeah, well, he's wearing a funny hat.
He wasn't gruntled at that moment.
Nah, I don't know if gruntled or drunk, but The reason they're all wearing Tux the Penguin hats, which they purchased from a vendor right out front of Moscone, is that Microsoft announced that coming soon to Windows 10 near you, you're going to be able to go to the App Store and buy the Bash shell. Buy a, not Linux, we should be clear, but Ubuntu is going to make all of their command line program, all the free software foundation. Richard Stallman's going to be pissed off. All the GNU stuff, everything without additional compilation will run on Windows 10, including the Bash shell, but presumably that means other shells as well. So you'll now have a command, like a real command line, and sed and awk and grep and Emacs and Vi and all
and
of
it, is it at the same low level that we would expect the shell to be
so
running
here's
at?
What it's doing. It's very interesting. It's not, and the reason you don't want to say they've got Linux on there is right. It's not Linux. Linux is an operating system, and you don't. So you don't want to run Windows and Linux. That would be virtualization. What they're doing, you know what Wine is on Linux?
Yep.
So Wine stands for Wine is not an emulator. What Wine does is it lets you run Windows programs natively on Linux by intercepting the Windows API calls and translating them into the appropriate language for Linux. Doesn't work for every program, but it works well enough. You can run, say, Microsoft Word on mm-hmm. Linux, not in virtualization, not a VM, but just standalone, like it's running, like it's working under Wine. So this is reverse Wine. And they've made it so that you can run almost all. I talked to some Microsoft people who are using it, by the way, in the Redmond campus yesterday. And they said it runs almost everything. There's a few things that don't run. Nothing graphical will run.
Right.
But every command line, without recompilation, it just, you download it from, it runs apt-get. So you can apt-get install Emacs-NOX, and it runs. Now you've got Emacs. Awesome.
In my world, reverse Wine is coffee.
That's what Microsoft should call it.
Yeah.
Why coffee?
Or
well,
Java.
Reverse
oh, wait.
Wine.
No, never mind. Sorry.
Not Java. No. There's enough trouble with Oracle as it is. Did you get in line and order a Tesla?
I wanted to. I was busy.
200, what was it, 252,000? What's the?
Once
the
first... I realized I was 115,000 in the hole, I was like, just wait.
So they're building roughly 50,000 Model S's a year. They've taken orders for five times that number for the Model 3, their new one, because starts at $35,000. It's the first affordable Tesla. That means if you ordered it today, Elon was saying, we're not going to start shipping until 2018. That means 2023, you'll get your car. 2023.
I was thinking about it, that I really could have almost had Malachi, my son.
That could be his first car.
Put $1,000 down, and then it'd be
perfect.
When he's 16, it would just roll right off.
I didn't get in fast enough, and I hesitate to order it now. Now what it does, this is actually really interesting, because Elon has played a very long game on this, and a very gutsy game. He's famous for doing this. You know, he made his money in PayPal. Actually, I think it was a company even before PayPal. And each time invested almost everything he'd made into the next thing.
Right.
He does not take some off the table, say, well, I'm going to keep a little for myself.
Right.
It's like, no, I'm all in on SpaceX. I'm all in. So Tesla, I think, was kind of a very gutsy move. First, he took the Lotus body and he put an electric engine in that, sold enough of those to build the design from the ground up Model S, took the money from that, put that into the Model X, which I'm still waiting for. A lot of people are. There haven't been many of those coming out of the factory. Bought the NUMMI factory in Toyota, which Toyota used to make. What was that crazy car they used to make down there? And that factory is a very nice factory, which they're barely using. I mean, there's a lot more capacity there. But Jason Calacanis, who's friends with Elon, told me, really, the whole game for Elon is the affordable. He wants to change the world. He's not trying to make a buck. He wants to change the world. The whole thing is an affordable, emission-free electric vehicle with a usable range and an affordable price so that people will actually buy it. And I think it was such a gutsy thing. And I can only imagine that on March 29th, Elon is like chewing his nails, going, God, I hope this works. Because if this doesn't work, they're out of money, I think. I don't think they have a company. I think he went right to the edge. And you know what? It worked. At this point, you can go to the market and say, hey, I got 252,000 orders. Give me $20 billion. Let's build a car. Because he's now proven he's a car company. He's got orders.
There's a great hangout, actually, between he and Richard Branson.
Mm.
And he talks about some of those moments where, well, we're running a couple things, and money got pretty close. And he says it kind of slowly, and you realize,
I think it got real close.
Real close,
on this one.
And so it's... But that was a while ago.
But the good news is he turned the corner. I know there were people shorting Tesla waiting for this day.
I mean, he had 115,000 people sign up before they even knew what the car looked like. I mean, that's well done.
Tesla has not ever made any money. They've been losing money like crazy. The Model X, the Model S, the Roadster. Yeah, it's like Amazon. Well, Amazon could make money.
Yeah.
I think Tesla's really, this was all leading to this day.
Right.
And now they go to, you know, the equity markets and say, hey, okay, we got orders. Now we need $50 billion to build a factory.
There's that.
You know what? Elon will do it. Did we have that Scoble video?
Yes.
He got in line. Where did he get in line? At the Fremont factory? Oh, in Dublin. Okay. I talked to somebody who waited 3 hours in line. A friend of mine went down to Corte Madera. That's our nearest Tesla store. Got there at 6 a.m., 6:30 a.m., had a car ordered by 10:30. That's what you had to do. There's the big supercharger. Amazing. Amazing. This is big. But the funny thing is, I mean, these people are putting $1,000 down. It is refundable. But on a car that they're not going to see for years, like at least 3 years, right? At least 3 years.
But you want to be one of the ones, right? Right?
It's amazing. It's amazing. So that was the week. Are you ready? I'm ready. There was only one thing that happened this week. My Oculus Rift came. We have spent more than $5,000 building the ultimate virtual reality gaming machine because we realized we didn't have any Windows machines in this whole brick house studio that could run an Oculus Rift. Shall we walk over and do it?
Yes.
Carrie, you're going to come with us? All right, let's do it. You guys could turn your chairs around. You're going to want to see this. And you get to be the first, all right? We have an audience member. When she heard that we had the Oculus, she was jumping for joy. So I guess what we should do first is talk about the Uvergum. Do you have the sped-up video of me building it?
Yeah.
All right. So we had to assemble it. And believe me, with my sausage fingers, this was not easy. Thank you to Jerry Wagley and Karsten Bondi, our producers, who helped me with this. And a lot of people in the chat room who kibitzed. And we managed to get the whole thing assembled. It is, just to give you the rundown, running a Intel 6700 i7 processor, the 6700K, which starts at 4 gigahertz, but we can overclock up to about 4.2 or 4.3 gigahertz. It's got a very nice top-of-the-line NVIDIA 980 video card, the titanium. We did not do SLI, and if you watch our earlier versions of the show in previous weeks, you'll see why. Ryan Shrout said there's no benefit in Oculus, so one card's enough. We can put another one if we need to. We also put a water-cooled pump in there for the CPU, which is running, and it's quiet, isn't it? I mean, this is nice. This thing can run very, very...
I was going to say, when are you turning it on?
It's on.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. What did I leave out? Oh, there's a...
Okay, does everything look okay? No smoke coming out?
Here we're going to go. Let's see if it starts.
Ready?
It's booting. It's booting. Look at that. That's
96.
The post cores.
Oh, the screen!
Screen! M2 SSD, 500 gigabytes, and dual 300 gigabytes Caviar Red Western Digital drives in RAID 1. This was all Ryan Shrout specs. Ryan, you're on the line, right?
I'm here.
Hey, Ryan. It worked. But you saw, we went through, and all through the week, I spent some time on Friday. We had trouble. The BIOS was having trouble letting us use the M2 card and the other drives in RAID. That step-by-step that was in the Newegg review worked. Did you look
Sometimes
at it?
Sometimes you find good information in the oddest places, right?
Yeah, it was from an ASUS engineer. But anyway, so everything's working. Before the show, I logged into my Oculus account. This is, by the way, the reason I got it so fast is that I was a Kickstarter contributor. I guess you were too, right?
Yes, yep.
So I think this is cool. Good on Oculus because they didn't have to do this. We got our dev kit. We got what we said we were buying for $300. But they decided to give everybody who did a Kickstarter in August 2012, to give us the release version.
It's an additional return on investment.
You know what? All bad will is gone because I wasn't crazy about the fact they sold the company for $2.5 billion after I gave them my $300. I think I wanted a share. Anyway.
There's your share.
There's my share. I'm very happy now. So, Ryan, you've already installed yours.
Yes. Yeah, we got ours in on Monday. Started messing around with it and went through the install and setup and played some games and been using it off and on throughout the week.
Yep. All right.
So far, so good.
I logged into my account. I downloaded some games. What do you recommend, by the way?
The obvious first choice is Eve Valkyrie, right?
That's kind of... I downloaded that, yep.
Yeah, that's kind of the poster child for VR. It has been for several years. It's one that you can easily like sit down in and understand immediately and kind of get started learning what VR is all about. Now, it is considered a they have like Oculus has this interesting rating category for experience levels, whether or not it's extreme. You've got the box upside down. If you do that, you'll
it'll all fall out. Go. By the way, do you know how hard this was? This has been sitting here since Thursday. Do you know how hard it was?
So you haven't actually opened it yet?
No.
Oh, okay.
I have been staring at it since Thursday.
Yeah.
All right, what happens here? Do I pull the drawer?
No, just lift it up.
Oh. Ooh. Ooh.
It's actually very well presented. You know, for $600 consumer electronic, they kind of boxed it like a $600 consumer electronic.
Ooh, let's get started. Wait a minute, I shouldn't pull that off. That's
that was a sign.
Whoops. What's this?
It's a little remote.
I thought that was so my Lexus key fob. I mean, my...
well, they didn't give you a car with it,
no
I'm
car?
Sorry to
All
say.
Right. That's pretty. So that's a remote?
So it's basically it's a wireless controller if you're doing games or experiences or videos and you don't need to worry about using an Xbox controller, right?
So I can go like this.
Yep, and there's basically, you know, you've got your left, right, up, down buttons kind of in the circle area, center button.
Is it like a Wiimote? Is it motion sensitive?
It is not.
No. Okay.
It is not motion sensitive, and it doesn't have any IR lights on it, so it's not tracked or anything like that. But it's basically, there are a handful of games that you can play using just that, right? So like Defense Grid 2 is kind of the easiest one to try
now,
out there.
I'm going to step through the screen here because get to know your Rift. Please remove the protective films. Okay.
There are things covering the lenses.
This is a camera, right?
Yep. So that's a camera. That is it's an infrared camera. So it's going to view and look for the infrared lights that exist behind the plastic of your headset. And that's how it tracks you. So
like
it's just
the dead cold eye of a shark looking at it.
It reminds me of the old EyeSight camera, actually, if you look at it.
Yeah, it kind of is, isn't it? So that tube. Yep. All right. I'm removing films, as they say.
Yep, you'll have to undo a bunch of that stuff. There's a bunch on there.
Film, but that's part of the packing and unpacking experience these days. All right, so should I plug stuff in or should I wait till I get everything?
You can, when you walk through the software setup, it actually will tell you, like,
when
go ahead
do
and
do
these stuff
okay,
in.
So
I don't think it will matter.
So
but
this,
you can,
well, the, you know, with, you know how it is with USB. I like to wait until they tell me to because this is
understood.
That's USB 3. And then the Rift itself uses an HDMI port or?
It uses USB 3 and an HDMI connection.
So to do this, you need two free USB 3 and a free HDMI. And they say plug it into the video card, not the motherboard HDMI.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Obviously, because I spent a lot of money on that video card. I better use the video.
And you'll need one additional USB 2.0 port to use the wireless Xbox controller that's in the box there as well.
Oh, wow. They didn't stint. But for is $600 normally, right?
It is. It's $599 is what the retail price is. I know they've had. I think they've started refunding everybody's shipping fees.
Oh, that's nice.
Because people were getting upset about the delays and kind of the arrival times for the non-Kickstarter groups. But if you look at it, if you hold the device, if you know it feels high quality. It doesn't, you know, if you remember back to the DK1 or the DK2 and what it looked like,
much
and felt
nicer. This is much
nicer. This is a refined device.
Yeah,
you know, they
and
did
headphones, which is nice, built in.
Yep.
I'll just put this on quickly. I'm not going to do anything with it, but I just want to show you how it looks. It's not. It feels a little smaller than the DK1 and 2.
It is. It's smaller. It's lighter, which is obviously
it's
an advantage.
Lighter as well.
There's Velcro strap on the top and one on each side that you can loosen or tighten as necessary. It's easier to
put it on your face
and then pull the Velcro straps on the side, just, you know, pull them apart and then pull it back until it fits snug. Not too tight. You are going to get raccoon face with this, regardless of how you set it up.
That's a good fit. These are 1080p. The two together are 1080p, right?
No, it's actually higher than that.
It is.
You're looking at... I think it's 1,200 by 2,100 is the official resolution total. Let me, I can look that up for sure.
So while you're looking up, should we get Peter on now too as well? Good
to
see you.
Congratulations on the new arrival.
Well, I feel like I've had a baby here. Peter Rubin is a senior editor at Wired and also been writing about VR. And you had a great article on kind of the history of the Oculus, the story of, and by the way, I'm really excited because I didn't realize this. That's Palmer Luckey's autograph there. Does it start with Palmer Luckey?
Does what start with Palmer
Luckey?
The
Oculus.
In most ways, yeah. I mean, VR had kind of disappeared for a lot of people, and Palmer was one of a number of enthusiasts who hung out in this message board online called the Meant to Be Seen 3D forums. And he started thinking about VR as a means to get his gaming better, as a means of kind of supercharging his gaming rig. And as he looked into it, he thought, well, the miniaturization of everything and the increasing kind of acceleration of processors, maybe there's something here. And so he started tinkering, and he came through a bunch of prototypes before he came up with the one that he kind of shared in the message boards. And then John Carmack said, you know, that's kind of neat. He was in the forums as well, and he said, could I take one of those to E3 with me?
John Carmack of Quake fame.
Of Quake fame.
Of Doom. Of Doom fame, actually, right? Quake that's where we first became aware of Mr. Carmack, is Doom.
That's true.
Yeah.
I think even before that, there were a couple of titles that he was involved with. But that kind of started the legend. And so when John Carmack brought that first electrical taped, ready for prime time prototype to E3, everyone thought, oh, John Carmack's got VR figured out. And he had very few kind of behind closed doors meetings. And then before long, it got straightened out that this was some kid named Palmer Luckey. And that led to the Kickstarter campaign, by which point there are a few more people on board. And Oculus was an actual company. And fast forward a few years, and it's not just a little company. It is a kind of a major part that takes up a couple of buildings at Facebook. So things have come a long way for them, and they finally got there.
$2.5 billion acquisition is not
exactly.
At all. You know, I remember using a rig somewhat similar to this at SIGGRAPH in 1992 or 1993. Jaron Lanier, of course, the dreadlocked VR evangelist. I should get that out of your way. That's a very unflattering shot. And so this has, as you said, this has been around for a while, but never really got anywhere as a consumer product. Until Palmer Luckey and Oculus came along.
Yeah, back when Geron was working on it and a couple of other companies as well, resolution was an issue and latency was an issue, and the amount of power that it took to kind of break through those thresholds of comfort were just prohibitively expensive. And so in 2012, you know, Palmer Luckey was maybe one of the first people to synthesize the idea that this was possible now.
Almost done updating. Ryan, at this point, anything you should warn me about? Oh, this is one. I need to set up my Xbox. Where is that? Is that in here?
It's if you open up the box in the right hand side under flap.
There's a secret flap.
Yeah.
All right, and I probably need batteries.
It's got batteries in there.
There they are. Oh, you know what? It's not those cheap Chinese knockoff batteries. It's Duracells.
Nothing but the best.
I hate it when I see Xi'an Green batteries or something like that. All right, let's put these in right here. I've done this once or twice. I use rechargeables in my Xbox One controllers at home, but all right, that's all set up.
So take out the little wireless adapter
USB
there.
USB extender. It's good we have a lot of USB ports on this computer. This thing goes on and on and on.
All right, actually might not need the cable. The USB dongle.
I'll just use the wireless, right?
For me, yeah.
So that's the cable. I don't need that. Let's get the dongle. Here's the dongle. Alex, would you do the dongle duty? Thank you. All right, so he's going to plug in the dongle duty. It also comes with a wired extender.
Yep.
Jessica, just because this is your first Rift experience, here's a strange-looking O logo for you. Is there a manual? This is a manual? Looks more like a... this is the health and safety warning. Ah, screw that. All right. And then... for something that I have no idea what this does. Is this
that's to remove the headphones.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was to
clean. It's a little screwdriver, essentially, to take off the headphones if you want to use your own USB headset or wired headset or whatever.
You can put it on the front, too, Alex.
Is there a front one?
Why don't you put it on the front?
Is there a front one?
Yeah.
I did not see it.
Yeah, it's hidden under this immovable object. There it is. All right. Connect your Xbox wireless adapter, it says. All right, we've connected it. Next. Wait a minute. I need a USB extender as well. Oh, no, that's only if you can't fit it in. Okay. Start your Xbox controller. Okay, press and hold. All right. They're pairing as they're supposed to.
You'll have to pair it. You'll have to hit the button on the wireless adapter.
On the wireless as well.
And on the controller.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah, there's one on the top of the controller.
Oh, on the top. I see it. Oh, it's been a long time. Thank you. See, this is why you're here, Ryan.
Having just done this week, it's like, oh, yes, all of these things.
I am breathless with anticipation. Somebody got that. it'll blink. It's blinking faster.
Actually, click to the next screen. I think it's waiting.
Oh.
Kind of each bit of this is a prompt.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Boy, they really, they expect you to be an idiot. And you know what?
That's, they're not. Might not be the worst idea.
Not being disappointed right now. All right, press and hold. So we're connecting the Xbox. This is actually, I thought the firmware updates were taking a long time. This is actually the longest thing we've had to wait. Should I press this again? Maybe I need to press that again. It gave up. It said, well, I guess I'm not going to see you. Jessica, have you ever done any VR at all? Did you do gear VR or cardboard or anything?
Both, yeah.
Both.
There you go.
Yeah.
So we are now connected there. Now, I did take the liberty of going to the store and buying hundreds of dollars worth of games. All right. You know how an Xbox controller works, I'm sure. Automatically register. Yes. Thank you. That was easy. I'm logged in. You have to log into your Oculus account. So you either have to create one or log in. And by the way, they also want a credit card. Now, set up your sensor. What's your suggestion here, Ryan? Your sensor works blah, blah, blah. How tall are you, Jessica?
5'4".
5'4", all right. Do I have to do this every time? All right.
It basically is telling, it's going, that's how it's going to know how far you are above the ground level.
Okay.
Yeah.
Place your sensor. You'll be using at least 3 feet away. I think we're good. Point and tilt the glossy side towards your face. Can you see the glossy side?
Yes, I can.
Yes, she can. Remove anything that blocks you from the sensor, including Leo. Okay. Now, confirm. Oh, we got to see if this works. Okay. Confirm sensor tracking. Sensor tracking confirmed. Yay. Now, personalize your Rift. This means basically fit it to your noggin, right?
Yep.
All right. Customize, loosen, blah, blah. Boy, they really think you're an idiot. Holy cow. Okay.
But you got to admit, it would have been better if it said fit it to your noggin.
Yeah.
You know,
fit
like,
it to your,
okay.
Ah, fit it to your now, noggin. Jessica, we've arranged a space for you. This is a stool that you'll be sitting on so that you don't actually fall off a cliff or anything. All right. Now we'll do that. Find the lens slider. See this thing?
Yes.
That's the lens slider. That'll help you focus once you put this on, just as the Gear VR does. All right, continue in your headset. Put on the headset.
Put it on like a baseball hat, back end first. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. That works.
Oh, is it too tight or not?
No, that's perfect.
Okay. Adjust your focus with that little lever.
Oh, there it is.
Okay.
I might also suggest that she tilt one of the headphones to the side so she can still hear you talk to her.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm pretty loud. All right. Now what? It says push in and slide the... Okay.
Oh, there we go.
Does it have... Is it asking for your input at some point or...
No. Let's see. To continue, press the select button on the remote.
Here is your remote, my dear.
Or the A button on your controller.
Here you go. There's your remote. And the select button's that big button in the middle.
Middle button.
All right. Continue in VR. All right, put on your headset. Okay.
Oh, hello, sensor. Oh, wow. Let's see. Stand in the position you plan to use VR and look straight ahead.
You know what? I'm moving the stool out of your way. That is not helpful. So, Peter, is it everything you had hoped it would be, or is it? You feel like we have a way to go still?
Performatively, it's everything that I hoped it would be, or at least it's everything that the 3.5 years of development have kind of led me to hope for.
I used the DK1, the first development kit, and I got kind of nauseous a little bit.
Oh, yeah. It had problems. I mean, it was a proof of concept, and they had latency issues, and they hadn't cracked positional tracking or low-persistence displays or mitigating judder or, you know, asynchronous time warp, which was John Carmack's contribution to the whole deal. And so there are a lot of things, both hardware and processor side, that are really contributing to kind of a more stable experience. But I guess where I think it falls short, at least on launch day, is the number of experiences that there are for you. When the gear launched, there were more than 100 things ready in the store.
Jessica, she's really kind of excited. Hold on a second.
This is the tour.
She's getting the experience. She's walking around. It says you can skip. So we're seeing on the screen what she's seeing in the headset.
Yep, there's an export. And so what she's about to start, this thing called Dream Deck, is actually kind of a remastered version of the suite of demos that Oculus built to show people at the first developer summit that they had at Oculus Connect when they unveiled the Crescent Bay prototype. So what she's seeing kind of was first shown in late 2014, but they've redone a lot of this stuff.
What's your boyfriend's name?
Tommy,
come here, because you're going to have to backstop just in case she she falls over or throws up. It's your job. Okay. There you go. Just stand on that side just in case, and we'll make sure she doesn't fall over. So you've got some support behind you, Jessica.
There's cute
Tommy's here.
There, she loves.
You like cute animals? Who doesn't like cute animals? Oh, that's all. Uh-oh, it went dark. Where are you? Jessica, are you there? It's a saying hello.
Hi.
Now can you crouch hear down.
Him? Crouch down. See, get lower. Oh, you're actually at his height. Peter, I'm thanking you for being here. You're our guide.
There are a couple fun Easter eggs that they snuck in kind of throughout the suite. So if I can point those out, I think.
Please
I think
do. Yeah. This is awesome. This is amazing. There's his spaceship. So you're on a planet now. Jessica, does it feel real? Does it?
It does. It really
yeah?
does.
Yeah? Can I get a handheld? Do you guys have a handheld for Jessica?
Tell her to look forward over the edge.
Look over the edge, though. Be careful. You might get a little...
That's so cold.
I'm glad you're here, Tommy.
And then that billboard back over her left shoulder is a little Palmer Luckey cameo.
Oh, look over your left shoulder. Oh, too late. Oh, Palmer's gone. So he's in there, huh?
Yeah, he shows up on a billboard.
Oh, now we're on a street. Oh, maybe he's in this area.
I don't think we can hear what she's hearing.
What are you saying? What are you hearing?
There's a Tyrannosaurus Rex coming straight at
Oh,
me.
No. Does he look dangerous?
Oh, wow. No, he's friendly.
Yeah, real friendly. Is he? So there's audio going on right now.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Hi.
Oh, she's patting a Tyrannosaurus. That seems like a bad idea. Just challenge it to a push. Oh! Wow.
This is amazing.
So somebody in the chat room, Greenbit, says, I don't think I'm going to wait for the lower price. I'm buying it.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to try it a little bit. I'll try
it. Notice that, so the funny thing about using the Xbox controller is that as soon as you move forward, you feel your stomach immediately go, you're actually...
And that's the problem, isn't it?
Just can't move very much.
It's not like you're moving.
Yeah, you're not moving. So your inner ear is suddenly going, I don't agree.
Yeah, games that utilize the left thumbstick is...
Right.
Most don't. They've learned to stay away from that because offloading locomotion out to something that isn't your body is kind of a recipe for that imbalance and that simulator sickness.
Honestly, I think the right thumbstick has the same issue. If there's two ways for me to turn my head, my viewport, either the right thumbstick or my face, that to me is a trigger point for my kind of discomfort in VR.
You're absolutely right. I flip my thumbsticks. It's the right thumbstick. That's the poison pen. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's head movement that really does it. Yeah, this is a good demo, and you should be warned, this is labeled as an extreme I was going to say earlier, I think Oculus has three different levels of what they rate their experiences at, beginner, intermediate, and intense or extreme, whatever it is. This one is on the high end of that.
Yeah, this is, you're right. I mean, it's quite vivid, and I agree that the sound makes a difference. I noticed that they had a button for space adaptation syndrome. In other words, if you get queasy, press this button.
I don't know why it worries. It's all above your mouth, so it's not like you're going to get anything on it.
this is actually a huge improvement over the DK1, I have to say. This is quite remarkable.
DK1 was all off-the-shelf components. I mean, this is all stuff that's been custom engineered.
It feels much more like a product. I mean, I think even with the DK2, you felt like it was fine. You know, you got it was good. It was a good place to play.
So I'm curious to see what you see. Are you getting a vibe as well, Leo?
Pardon me?
Are you getting a vibe as well?
Yeah, I'm getting rumble from the Xbox controller.
No.
Am I getting the vibe? I thought you said, am I getting the vibe? Yes, we ordered the vibe. And I know you really like your favorite vibe game is the going to work game.
Yeah, Job Simulator.
Job Simulator, which is a very strange thing to like, but. So I'm just floating around in this thing, huh?
Yeah, well, there is a game to play. You will eventually run out of oxygen, and the game will be over if you don't.
I better play the game then.
No rush.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
no pressure, but you're going to die.
You're looking for the green blinky things that look like canisters. There's a few of them.
Yeah, I see one of those.
You reach out and grab them with the right trigger. I think is what it is.
Oh, hey, it's over my head. Right trigger?
Yeah, it's the smaller one.
It says X
canister.
To hold.
Yeah, hold
oh,
X.
Crap. Oh, I'm going to throw up. this is way too realistic. Holy moly. All right. So what's interesting is there's also, as I suspected, a little bit of suspension of disbelief because you can see the screen door effect if you're looking. But pretty quickly you kind of get engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to use the Vive a little while ago, and I did notice that with the controller that you could actually go out and grab with it, that they had there were some really great interactive examples that, you know, I found myself immediately just kind of lost in the, you know, in the process.
Yeah,
the motion controller that the Vive ships with is a big kind of differentiator right now.
Absolutely.
Oculus has theirs that are coming later in the year. They just knew they weren't going to be ready and they wanted to get the product out. So those will be available in a number of months, the Oculus Touch controllers.
And when they showed it, I thought it was going to be silly, but I found myself, they had this thing where the engine comes out, and you can open up the engine and work on it and hit things and move things around. And
yeah, that was Job Simulator. You were playing Job Simulator.
Oh, is that Job Simulator? I didn't know what that was.
It's like cartoony graphics and stuff, right?
But it was pretty realistic. It was a big, it was like you're like in a spaceport and you have this huge engine comes out and you can open up the engine and you can, but it wasn't very cartoony. It was
not as good as
robot repair, I think.
Using a Xerox machine and a stapler.
Which you can do in Job Simulator.
Can you chase people around with a stapler?
You can you can Xerox books. That's the only thing.
Xerox books and staple people. Sorry, that's why I don't have a job.
A survivor has been detected. This is fun. I could see playing this for hours on end.
And then not be,
And then coming into the real world going, God, I hate my life.
You don't understand. I was an astronaut for the last 2 hours.
I've been an astronaut. I just saved the world. Now I have to get to the trash. Oh, what's happening? What's happening? Oh, this is like gravity. I just got blown out of my ship. Oh, Alex. Oh, don't let go of the rope. Whoa! Okay. Man, oh man, I'm glad I didn't have pickles for breakfast. All right. It says my suit's damaged and my oxygen's leaking.
But other than that, you're doing just fine.
I don't know what I'm doing. I should have memorized these controls.
I'm sure the astronaut thought that too. Before I did the spacewalk, I should have figured out how to get back in.
Manual. All right, I don't. This is not fun for everybody, but that's but fun for me. That is awesome. By the way, this is getting hot. That's normal, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It will stay at that temperature pretty much the whole time.
Okay.
I've left mine on games for several hours to see if it did get like hotter.
It doesn't get any hotter
and become a problem, and it hasn't been so.
Wow, Peter Rubin from Wired Magazine. Any final thoughts before we sign off?
I don't think there is a way to get across the experience of VR better than seeing you play Adrift. So I will defer to what we just watched.
I'm breaking out in a sweat here. That was scary. Thanks so much for joining us. The story, the inside
story of how Oculus cracked the impossible design of VR is in Wired. Is it online as well as in the magazine?
That story is actually digital only. There is an essay in the current issue about something related in VR, and then a review of the Rift also on Wired.com.
Very nice. Peter, great to meet you, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having
me, Leo.
We'll
be talking more. This is going to be the year of VR. I think there's no question about
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
And Ryan, thank you for helping us build the ultimate VR gaming machine.
Of course, absolutely. I'm glad you got it up and running.
It handled this pretty well. I mean, this is sweet. This is really sweet.
You'll be set for a while with that hardware for sure. My takeaway from this is, even if people are interested in VR, if you had a pre-order for a headset, whether it be an HTC or an Oculus, if you're like really worried that you're also going to have to spend $3,000 or $5,000 to get a PC to run it, you're not going to have to do that, right? We built a very competent $900 PC that will run a Drift, and it will run all these games at great experiences. So it's still an expensive project, right? $600 for a headset, $900 for a PC. You know, you're in there for $1,500 total, but it's less expensive than I think many people feared it would be.
And the experience that we just had would be as good on that $1,000 machine.
Yeah, it's interesting. We could talk about it another time if you want. Like, both these guys are going in different routes in terms of how they adjust for that. Valve's, like Steam VR, Open VR, is really emphasizing variable quality. So if they detect you're going to go below 90 frames per second, they will actually dynamically adjust the resolution that is being rendered out to the screen and make sure you don't break your immersion due to stutter and frame rate in that way. And Oculus is doing a lot of late time warp, where if you're missing a frame in your interval you're supposed to get it, it will actually use the previous frame and distort it, rotate it very quickly, you know, like based on the direction of your head movement. So it's very interesting technical issues that they're coming on with both headsets. And for me personally, it's a very difficult transition in terms of how we evaluate performance between these headsets and between different GPUs on these headsets. But that's my next couple of months, I'm guessing, figuring all that out.
But with the same hardware, they are going to keep on increasing the quality of some of this stuff. So if you're looking at building a PC or buying a PC that's going to last for the next 2 years, let's say, you may want to think about getting something a little bit more powerful to make sure that you're future-proofing it a little bit, at least until the next big headset comes out.
That's what we did, right?
That's what this is, but that's the argument.
That was our first conversation, Ryan, is should we just get a low-end minimum GPU video card so that next year we could buy a better card? And
exactly.
You said, no, get the high-end card, and I'm glad we did, I think. And by the way, that water cooling is fantastic. This thing, I mean, that it didn't break a sweat, you know? I mean, this
keeps everything running quiet, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really nice. All right. Well, I think we're going to let our studio audience play with this as we continue with the new screensavers. Thank you so much, Ryan Schrapp, PCPer.com, their hardware leaderboard, and their articles about the subject. And, in fact, I think for the next few years, you guys are going to be somebody to stay in touch with, because obviously a lot of people are going to want to be doing what we just did. And your coverage is excellent. And, of course, don't forget Ryan and Patrick Norton every Friday on This Week in Computer Hardware.
Thursday.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you, Ryan.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Have fun.
All right. Take care. And thanks for helping us build that. Now, we actually have more to do before we're done. We have to show you the keyboard and the mouse. We won't do that today. We'll do it next week. And then we still don't have our beautiful curved monitor. But maybe by next week we'll have that. But who needs a monitor when you got a VR headset? I think everybody in the staff, everybody in the audience is saying, okay, get out of there. It's time for me to try it. Before we do, though, I want to tell you a little bit about Audible.com. We live in an amazing time, right? I mean, you can immerse yourself in games like this, or you can use Audible.com and immerse yourselves in amazing stories where your brain paints the picture. And I got to tell you, what an experience listening to an audiobook. I'm just finishing the Hamilton biography by Ron Chernow. I'm not sure where I'm going to go next. I have some really interesting choices. I like to alternate fiction with nonfiction. What are we listening to now, Lisa? That's a great book. It's woman wakes up and she's for 6 months she's been living with some stranger and she doesn't know who he is, and her husband arrives and says, who is this guy? I don't know. Who are you? Oh, my husband. Hi. And oh my God, it's just thrillers, whatever you're looking for. They have more than 180,000 titles, all kinds of literature, fiction, nonfiction, periodicals, even performances, And I love my Audible. I know you will, too. That's why we've arranged for a free book for you. All you have to do is go to audible.com/NSS. You'll be signing up for the Gold account. That's a book a month, plus the Daily Digest of the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal. If you don't like it, cancel in the first 30 days. You'll pay nothing. Your book is yours forever. You get to keep that. I think you're going to like it. That's why I tell everybody I know. I've been an Audible member for 16 years. I have read hundreds of books, and I love Audible. You will, too. Audible.com/NSS. Remember last week we had Scott John, our expert on gadgets for the health club, a health set for That's a terrible. What the hell am I saying? I want to be an astronaut again. Scott Jung was here last week talking about med gadgets. He's from Med Gadget Magazine. He's got a new one. It's called MediSafe, a way to track your health reminders. Watch.
Hi, I'm Scott Jung. I'm a senior editor at MedGadget.com and also on Twitter at Scott Jung. So today I want to tell you about an app that will help you remember to take your medication. It's called MediSafe, and it's free for iOS and Android. With MediSafe, you add all your medication in the med cabinet, specifying how often you need to take it, if there's any food interactions, the name of the doctor that prescribed it, and the app actually even supports vitamins and supplements. Once you've done all this, your meds are added to the pill box, which gives you a visual representation of which meds you need to take and when. And your phone will, of course, give you a friendly reminder when it's time. Now, if you miss a dose, it'll show up on a weekly adherence report that you can view and send to your doctor or someone else. You can also set the app to notify a med friend, which is a family member or friend that you invite if you miss a dose. The iOS version of MediSafe also includes a really handy Apple Watch app. From your watch, you can view your upcoming medication schedule, mark that it's been taken, choose to reschedule the dose, or skip it altogether. And the Apple Watch app will even show any special instructions you've added, say if you need to take it with food. For more cool health tech, you can find me on Twitter at Scott Jung, and also be sure to visit MedGadget.com.
Scott Jung, he'll be back. We got lots more great tips from Scott and MedGadget.com. I liked that.
It's pretty cool.
It's better than I thought. Now, I had used the DK1, the developer kit 1, and I was really underwhelmed. And somebody brought by, like I was in a game and I was running around and stuff, and I got very queasy.
Right.
They've come a long way.
Yeah, I think the reactiveness, the resolution, the controls,
it's
everything.
Vivid.
It definitely feels much more refined.
I don't want to oversell it because you know when you're in it, you know that you're wearing a helmet. It's not like you're kind of there. You can see the edges of the space that you're looking at, and the screen's visible. But, you quickly, the suspension of disbelief does kick in, and now you're in this game and you're trying to do something.
Well, and you do feel like you're at the beginning. I think this is going to be more.
Look, Lisa's trying.
Yeah. I think this is going to be have a lot more legs than 3D necessarily.
I agree with you. 3D has no legs as far as I'm concerned.
Well, the new
this
legs
is real
3D,
3D.
Is
well, let's
Oculus.
Talk about this because it's one thing to have the helmet and the content. It's another thing to create it, and that's something you're an expert in. You're a content creator.
We're doing some of that.
I'm sure you're very interested in creating immersive. Immersive video is different from gaming because it's real
it
world.
It is, and you know, we've been this whole thing has happened very slowly. You know, in the early 90s, I was using we were taking pictures with film,
right?
And we'd scan the film, and then we had the Apple VR, toolkit. You'd write scripts that would go, blend all your.
And basically, really, it was a sphere that you could just look around in. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so that was in those QuickTime VR, and we used them for reflection maps for movies, and then. The video, we thought about the video stuff probably in the early 2000s. You can take a bunch
someday.
Of little cameras, but we couldn't find cameras that were small enough.
Right.
And now, all of that stuff is accelerating very quickly. I mean, I think that the thing that if people are interested in, playing around with content creation, the first thing that anybody wants to get
is this
is
data.
This.
I was so happy with that. $350 bucks?
I have some great photos from this. I travel around all over the place, and I have ones of me. Here we go. This is the, but this is the Theta.
This is the Theta S, so
this
is the third edition.
And I have the last version, and this is obviously a huge bump up from that.
I bought it the minute I could see it. So that's a still.
Right, that's a still, and then you can switch to video. So I click this here, and I should.
You could just put it down, and then you could vlog. I was doing vlogs with it on the on our last vacation, and the thing is, you want to do something where there's stuff to see all around.
Right. Right. And one of the things that's great about this right now is that you can actually get there you go. Oh, yeah, sorry. Turned the wrong. So you can see it blinking here. So it's doing it.
Yeah.
Anybody who's wearing the headset when you do that is going to be like, whoa.
Well, the funny thing is when you're using this, you have to get out of the habit of pointing it at the subject. It's right. pointing at the subject no matter where it is or because
right.
everything is here. So you can stand here and talk and move around, and then you don't have to look into the camera.
Yep.
The camera doesn't have to be aimed at you.
Well, and it's funny because you'll take a selfie, and everyone else in the restaurant or the place
is there.
Looks,
is in
but
it.
But they also look at you like, is he just taking a picture of me? And I'm like, no,
right.
he took a picture of me.
Everybody.
And you.
Yeah, and you.
So, but the, but that, you know. The, so,
look down, because what's neat about that particular, this particular device is it stitches out. So he's holding it on a selfie stick.
Right.
But you don't see it.
And I actually have a tripod that opens up right at the very bottom. And literally, you see nothing but these little legs that stick
yeah.
out. You know,
so
it's almost nothing.
Really, in previous efforts, there's always been a hole at the top and a hole at the bottom. This really is a full sphere, well, and the camera's even taken out of
it. Right, and the resolution's a little bit lower than some of the stuff that we've seen. But at 1080p, it's a great way to preview things. And the stills are...
They're
you
really
know,
good.
They're almost 6K wide.
Yeah.
So they're very, very... It's 5,600 or something wide.
Now, as,
so
as always, you have to... You can't just take the stills and put them on a site because it's really just two giant fisheye, I don't know, it's 8mm or even
right.
wider pictures. You have to use the software to render them into a sphere, or if you're doing the video, it has to stitch the video and make it a rendered video.
Exactly. And then you can upload those to YouTube and Facebook. And
that's what's cool.
Yeah, so... You can
in the past, there. You'd have to go to a special site. Theta has one.
Right.
Data360.com. But now...
And then I guess as of yesterday, I think, that YouTube announced that they're doing... they have a... You can now embed them, so you can, you know, of course, upload them. There's a... Part of the cardboard toolkit is that you can now incorporate it into Android, iOS. You can embed them on your website all through, you know, the YouTube platform. And, of course, Facebook's doing a ton of work on it as well. So we have... What's also really great right now is that we have two companies that are, doing a lot of development in this area.
Right.
But the great thing about this is that, and this gets into one of the challenges we have with these cameras, is the nodal points, if you actually tear one of these apart, it's actually little prisms that go right down, so the nodal point is almost on top of it. And the nodal point is where the lens actually rotates. You know, so if you rotate around the nodal point, you'll not get any parallax, which means you won't get any seams. And the fact that there's only two cameras and they're right on top of each other is two lenses and the sensors are actually right on top of each other means that the seams that you would normally see without any work at all, you get almost no seams. The only time you see seams is in low light environments when you're hand holding it because of the and that is a just a registration between the shutters. But otherwise, it is it's pretty amazing. I've taken them of you know people blowing out candles you know for their birthday, and it's just an awesome thing to send to your family because it's they can rotate around and look at it, and they can see you know your daughter, your mom, or whatever in the video itself. So it's pretty slick.
People on the chat room are saying, "Oh, I don't like the fisheye look of it." You're seeing a fisheye look because you're looking at it on a 2D screen. If you put
right.
on Gear VR. Or the Oculus Rift, you wouldn't see it. This is a video I shot on our last vacation, and that's me. But you know what? You can look at everything that's going on at the same time around me, and this is why you want to shoot this at somewhere where there are things going on. So there's somebody practicing parachuting. Here's somebody practicing boogie boarding. We're on a giant cruise ship. There's the sky. So, you know, this is I think it's a great way to vlog because. Suddenly, you're vlogging, and people can see everything in the environment. There's Michael, and there I am. I think that's just a pretty amazing way to do this. This is with the Theta. But you see, it's not quite as crisp in video as it is in still.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's why.
It's 1080, yeah, absolutely. That's that.
It's because there's so many pixels.
Right yep.
Yeah, for this. Still, it's pretty fun. I mean.
Oh, yeah.
And imagine this in the, you put this on the in the cardboard of the Rift. And suddenly you're seeing, you're in the action.
Absolutely.
Now, it's a video, so it's not interactive. You can't change the scenario. You could just look around.
You can experience it.
In right. some ways, that's better. You don't get the queasiness quite as much.
You,
well, seriously, you're not yeah. moving, right?
Yep. No, absolutely.
Unless you do a lot of this. So let's make something even better. What's the
so
next
there's
step?
There's a couple different steps between that. So one of the ones, of course, is a lot of us started using GoPros. GoPros were inexpensive, and most importantly, they were small. So we're able to put them very, very close together. So a lot of people have these little six camera rigs. You'll see GoPro took it and kind of made it more organized.
Is more cameras better?
Not necessarily. What more cameras get you, obviously, is you don't have to have quite the same fisheye lens, which is going to give you higher quality. The problem is the more cameras that you add, the more seams that you have. And the more, so there's more places where you may, it may not blend perfectly.
This does look good, though.
Yeah, so you can really get some. Now, a lot of times when you see some of these examples, there has been some work in post to fix some of the issues. So there's, okay, there's actually a growing business, if you're looking for a new business, of paint fixing this kind of panorama.
Interesting.
So there's probably a little bit of work done with this, given how close they are to things, you know, where they took a couple things out and fixed it. Maybe not. There you can see one seam right there.
How much is that GoPro?
I don't know how much the GoPro is with, you know, generally you're
Didn't
looking at
like
about...
Didn't they say like $18,000? I think they
no,
said...
And here you can see some of the little issues on his knee. You know, you see some of the blending and stuff like
Just
that.
Just as you would if you did a panorama and stitched
you didn't
a
get
panorama.
It quite right. Yep.
Sometimes they're little weird artifacts.
Exactly. So, but the $18,000 version. So you can build one of these for about $3,000, $4,000.
Just buy a bunch of cameras and glue them together.
Yeah, and there's plenty of stuff online. You can print the rig. I mean, we've printed a lot of our rigs. But you can buy them from like 360 Heroes and a couple other companies. So about $3,000. Now the $18,000 rig you're talking about is the Odyssey, which is something that Google built, and that's 16 cameras wrapped around, and you lose a little bit on the top and bottom, so it doesn't go all the way up and all the way down, but the quality is really high, but you also can't you upload it to the server and let it do its thing. Now, some people are building also with Blackmagic cameras. If you look at the Blackmagic Micro, one of the things that's interesting about the Blackmagic Micro is when you turn it on its side, it's 65 millimeters wide. And why that's important is that's about the same distance that your eyes are. You'll see they have these tiny little cameras, and a lot of people have been, have been putting 180 degree lenses on them. And so that's another, you get a lot of quality, you get a live feed. So if you want to do live streaming of that, that's another one. And then after that, you get into lots of custom rigs, and probably the next one that's a turnkey rig is the Ozo.
And this is the Ozo, ladies and gentlemen.
So this is the Ozo here. And
just went on sale. This is from Nokia, of all people.
Yeah, just started shipping a couple weeks ago. And what this has is it has eight cameras with eight microphones. And so it's able to produce, surround sound.
Are these the microphones?
Yeah, you'll see these are the little microphones there. And so those are... what's great about this that's made it a lot easier in a lot of ways is those are all that's the angle.
This
of all
is the live output.
That's the live output. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's
I'm waving over there. That's actually live output. Wow.
And so this is so that way you can kind of view what's going on and see how it's working. Now the and there's a little bit of latency, a couple seconds as it goes through there. What it's doing is it's taking all of those and it's putting it onto one SDI signal, HD SDI signal. And what's great about that is that instead of having all these cameras and this trying to figure out how to turn the cameras on, you just hit play or hit record, and it's grabbing it from one video signal.
Analogous to the Theta, which gives you, if you don't stitch it, these two fisheye images, this is just giving you more of them.
It's giving you eight. And these are, I think it's 192 degrees per lens, so they see a little bit behind themselves.
And they're pretty high resolution, I would guess.
Yes.
At $60,000, I'd expect that.
Yeah, so it is a... And it'll also, it's able to do, unlike the Theta, it's also able to do 3D. You can actually look at a live output there. That's actually from when we did a MacBreak. This is a stitched still from MacBreak. We're going to have the video up
and
there
again,
next week.
And again, because you're seeing this on a 2D screen, that's why it's like a Mercator map.
Yeah, it's kind of Mercator projection.
Yeah. But if you were looking at this in a headset, it would look normal. It'd be like you were there, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that is one image from a video. So it can do very high.
That's very good quality.
So it can do the same resolution that the stills are on this in video. So it's a pretty slick little camera.
The interesting thing is, as much as that camera is, the devices to look at it are not expensive. You can use a 2D screen in Facebook and YouTube, as we were just doing. But if you get a Google Cardboard device, which are $5 or less, you can look around within it, and it senses. You have to have a phone in it, obviously, so I guess you should add the cost of the phone. Gear VR from Samsung works similarly. You have to have a Samsung phone. It goes in this headset. You don't have to hold it anymore. It's on your head, much like the Oculus's, and you look around. And actually, Gear VR is an Oculus product. They're using Oculus technology.
Right, and the Gear VR is great. We've got a couple of those.
I really like my Gear VR.
And the new S7 is much better, the version.
Yeah.
And, And we use them as we're testing to see how things are going. And you can now, you know, that what's coming next with a lot of these rigs is being able to stream live. So I think we're going to see
Isn't the NCAA, isn't that going to be done in VR? The Final Four, I think. So how would I watch that? Yeah, see that? But does that mean I have to have an Oculus Rift?
Or cardboard, probably.
Yeah. Wow.
And I
it's
think
only
it's
180 degrees.
Yeah.
It is Gear VR.
Well, and there's a lot of
people. Sorry, I wandered out of my shot to read the screen.
There's a lot of talk about whether 360 is required or 180, because 180 gets you more resolution. So a lot of these, even the streaming tools are, you know, there's a limited resolution.
Well, in a basketball game, I don't care what the people behind me are doing. I want to see the game.
And that game can be higher resolution if you only do 180.
Yeah. Okay.
So there's some people that are doing Next VR, and a couple other companies are doing 180 solutions, typically with Reds.
Yeah,
we use the Blackmagic, it's just a matter of what you think is important. There's a lot of religiousness. This is the little Blackmagic camera that we a lot
these
of
are
pop
amazing.
Lenses on.
Yeah,
we have a lot of those. So anyway, so the those are great because they're hackable as well. So if you're developing a camera system, you can. There's already tools on it so that I can control the camera completely from my computer. I can build Arduino controllers. I can do all kinds of stuff for it. So
it's so fast. This is happening so fast, and it's the nexus of these cameras getting better and better. It's the technology is advancing very quickly. The software is coming along very quickly, and as you just saw with the Oculus Rift, the ways that we can look at it. Coming along very quickly. I think this is a market that's about to explode.
Well, and I think that's what's really fortunate for us is that Facebook made a big move.
Yep.
Google's
and
made
YouTube.
A big move.
Yep.
Where those two companies have, I think if they hadn't stepped into the crowd, this could have fizzled out again. I think the fact that we have these two giant new interactive companies willing to put real money into it, and there's rumors, of course, that Apple is going to dip their toe into it at some point in the future. That's going to help drive it as well as big companies deciding that they're going to make it work, and not just the movie industry trying to make an extra $10. Because a lot of times this gets it gets talked about in the same light as 3D.
Right.
But I think there's a lot more you can do with it. Because imagine with this time you're going to be happy to see a stream from NCAA, or we did some tests with the PGA Tour with golf. But pretty soon you're going to be able to watch this thing. And if you look over to one side, you'll see your email and text going by. And then you'll be able to look over, and then you'll be
it's
able to
a
look.
New interface.
And then, while you're watching, you're going to see, you might even get to a point where you can say, show me all the players. And there's little names following the players around, and you can say, show me the stats. And all of the stats will just live, render in front of you. So it's not that you'd have to put this down to do that. You'd be able to check your email, you'd be able to check everything else, talk to people while you're staying in that environment and seeing heads-up displays of graphics that you call in rather than... So what we're looking at right now is still, of course, the early stages of just figuring out what to do. As this develops, and what I'm talking about is maybe a year away.
You
maybe
don't
less.
See, and take it from somebody, I've been doing this for 30, almost 40 years. Apple, by the way, happy birthday, celebrated its 40th
years.
Birthday yesterday of incorporation, April 1st, 1976. So that's about how long I've been doing computing. And so what you don't see is these big transitions. You only see them every once in a while. The advent of the internet was one of them. Personal computing, of course, was the first. I feel like this is a big transition. There's going to be new user interfaces, new experiences, new content created, all to take advantage of basically a totally new medium. I think we are at the very beginning of one of those massive transitions. And I think if you saw Jessica and Tommy and Alex and my reaction to the Oculus, I think you can see that it is actually starting to happen.
Well, and I don't know if you've had the same experience with even something as simple as the Theta, is that you start taking pictures with this and you start not wanting to take pictures any other way. You're like, I still take pictures with my iPhone and with my little DxO and stuff
so
like that.
So fun, but isn't it?
I was in Germany a couple weeks ago and I broke my toe. And of course, I'm sitting in a hospital in Germany, going, "Can I take a picture?" And I'm taking these panoramas of the X-ray machine with me laying there in the thing. It was awesome.
I went up to the bridge, and they said, "No video, no video on the bridge on this cruise ship." And I said, well, you mind? This is a 360 camera. Can I take a picture? It's very unobtrusive. You're going bloop. It doesn't look like you're taking. But every detail of the whole bridge,
right.
If they had known, they probably would have stopped me. Right?
When we do site. Yeah.
But it's not obvious. It's so tiny and
when we do site surveys, when we're looking at like places we're about to do production, we just walk around going like
not
this.
A big
you see
deal.
Us going like this. And then everyone can go back and look
not
at it.
Not a big deal.
It's great.
All right. Well, thank you, Alex, for this. This has been VR Day. This is very exciting. We're going to... get a little tip from Chris Marquardt, and then final thoughts. I know it's been a long show, but I can't wait to stop because I want to get over there and start playing with my Oculus Rift. Very exciting. Our show today brought to you by Squarespace. I tell you what, I don't think it's very long before we start putting our own blog posts up. I can do that now with YouTube on Squarespace in 360 degrees. People can interact with it. A great website is the place for you to have your place on the internet, the place you call home. Sure, you got Twitter. Sure, you got Facebook and Instagram. But if you don't have your very own website, you're missing the boat. Trust me, I've been through this. You got to have a place where you put everything. Squarespace is where I put my stuff. If you're a business and you're not online, you're barely a business. That's not like not having calling cards. It's like not having a phone number. Squarespace.com. If you want to see my site, leoville.com, I have been loving it. Now, my design is very simple, but you can go as crazy as you want because you're starting with those incredible templates that Squarespace provides. The templates mean you just drag and drop, point and click, and make that site your own. The best designers, but also the best engineering, so they're all mobile responsive. That means they look good no matter what size the site is. Scroll down a little bit, Brian, because you'll see I have the Squarespace has an embed for a SoundCloud, so I'm able to embed SoundCloud audio files in there with just a click of the mouse. If you scroll down a little bit more, you'll see on the right my Instagram feed just pops up into Squarespace automatically. A calendar of events, everything you want, and this took me about 2 hours to set up. It didn't take any time. Most of that time was putting content in there. Squarespace is also the best hosting. I want you all to go to leoville.com right now, all of you. And you still won't be able to bring it down. The best hosting, the best software, very affordable, and e-commerce is built into every site. So if you want to, this is where I think this is a great place now for my photos. Put them on Flickr, put them on Instagram, but you also deserve a place that's your portfolio. And if you're a photographer, the Squarespace Portfolio app on the iPad, pull those pictures in, lets you show them to clients. I could go on and on. I want you to try it. Templates, by the way, they've just added 5 new magazine-style templates you got to check out with grid-style landing. I'm going to actually move my site to one of these, I think. Grid-style landing pages. I love that look where you see all the posts on a grid, kind of like The Verge. Infinite scroll, so you just keep going down. Related posts, author profiles, integrated search field and header. You want to publish a magazine? You got it. Squarespace.com. And by the way, Lisa's setting up her business, her new business site on Squarespace, and she said, we ought to talk about this. There are literally hundreds of Squarespace designers and developers and setup experts. She said, I can't do this myself. I just too much time. I want somebody to help me with the content, help me with the design. She found somebody right away. They're doing a great job, and it's really affordable. Squarespace.com. You could try it for free right now, but use the offer code NSS for 10% off when you decide to buy. That makes it a really good deal. Squarespace.com. The offer code is NSS. Our favorite photographer, well, one of ours. I have many favorite photographers, including Alex Lindsay. Our favorite photographers, Chris Marquardt, wants to show you how to shoot more with less stress. And then we'll wrap this up with our mailbag. Chris?
Hello and welcome. This is Chris Marquardt bringing you yet another photo tip. Find out more about me at discoverthetopfloor.com. Now, you know, people are often worried about getting a scratch on the front of their lens or some dust inside the lens. Don't. Here is a blog article by lensrentals.com. They rented out a lens and got it back from the customer. And what they do is they take test shots. So this is one of the test shots. This is another test shot. And here is the lens that this has been taken with. Just imagine what a tiny little scratch will do on your lens. It won't do much. Now, the same goes for things like dust inside the lens. This is the inside of a lens that they got back from a client. It has a bug inside or a fly. And of course, they took a while to get this out. But the big thing that we learned from there is it doesn't really make a difference. They took test shots with the lens, with the fly inside, and it didn't make any difference. So don't be worried about a bit of dust in your lens or a slight scratch on the front element, it will not change the quality of your pictures. That was it.
It's amazing, you know, a fly in the lens and you don't see it in the image? That's crazy. Chris has always said he doesn't use those clear little screw-on filters that a lot of people put on to prevent lens scratching. He says, why do that? You scratch the lens, no big deal. You'll never see it.
I don't know if I'm completely
okay, on my new Leica, I put a little...
That's a lot of...
I put a little thing on it. All right, here we go. It's mailbag time. Alex Lindsay's here from the Pixel Core, and here's your very own Gear VR. I mean, cardboard. Cardboard VR.
I don't know why anyone's spending money on a...
That's actually pretty good. You need to put a phone in there before it actually does anything.
I just see cardboard.
Isn't it real? Did you see Google's... April Fool's with the Google cardboard plastic?
Yes.
No.
You haven't seen that? It's very funny. They said they do it as every product launch video, you know, starts with, there's nothing quite as real life. Now, with Google cardboard plastic, you can see real life as it really is. And it's just a piece of plastic you put over your head and you're looking around. And they show the view. Sound from all around. It's really... Skip ahead a little bit because this is like the progression. Look how it's fully immersive. Lightweight. Now that's virtual reality.
Was that this year?
It was yesterday.
Yesterday.
April
that's awesome.
Fool's. Works with all apps. Of course it does.
That's great.
Analog clock. He's looking at his wristwatch. 360-degree audio.
What's realer than real? Probably nothing.
Nothing's realer.
Or maybe something.
Than real.
I doubt it, though. I think we
That's great. That was a good April Fool's joke. Here, it's from the mailbag. I didn't even look at these ahead of time. This is a good one. This is for Leo, Alex, or anyone else. My son was in a middle school play, The Little Mermaid. Nice. The best video I have came from my sister's iPhone in three separate pieces. I edited them together in iMovie on my Mac, but speaking of flies, she must have had a lint or something on her lens. And there's a black fuzzy defect on the video, which looks like a bee in the show flying around my son's head. I know how to edit and correct photos with tools like Photoshop. Is there a tool to easily edit defects out of videos without having to go frame by frame over thousands of frames? I know there must be because Scarlett Johansson's really ugly, actually. But they have this tool. No. But they do that with movie stars. They actually can like frame after frame Photoshop, right? Can you do that with your home video?
So there's a couple things. You can. Most of the tools that are available for the movie stars are really expensive or proprietary.
They'll do the face once and then it tracks the face and it continues to apply that.
And so there's a couple things that people use to do corrections. So there's Mocha, which does a live tracking. Of course, that's oftentimes used in conjunction or otherwise used in Nuke. Silhouette effects. But all of these are professional
tools.
Like
thousands, right?
Hundreds or thousands of dollars. I mean, you know, I think that they all start, you know, in the $300 to $500 range and go up. For things that happen in a couple seconds here and there, and you have to pull it out, that's a pretty straightforward thing.
There's
Mocha Pro
$500
for about $500.
All right.
These do a lot of, but this is what is being used oftentimes in, to do this. Now, this is to cut objects out.
I'm kind of
the
amazed
background.
It's only $500, and it'll run.
It used to not be. It used to be thousands of dollars. You know, and so it's so those are the kind of tools that we use. But the problem that you're going to have is that. What you're not trying to do is remove something, you know, completely, like out of the background. You're trying to handle something that I'm assuming is going to be a little out of focus, which makes it harder.
Yeah.
And it sounds like it's moving erratically, you know.
Sounds hopeless.
So I think that it could be a lot of work because what you really have to do there is you have to be able to track that little movement.
Yeah.
And then what you're going to need to do is do basically a color call on it because obviously it's not gone. It's just a little darker. So I'm assuming, like it may not be actually occluding the background. So the way you would do that is you would either do a color call that would pull that back up, but there's a lot of work to be done with there. Or if it's not in front of someone, what you would do, or even if it is, you'd end up painting it out by basically copying images, information from another frame to it. which can be tracked and so on and so forth. But it's not a trivial solution.
So it's, live with the little fly buzzing around his head.
Depends on how important it is. I mean, you know, maybe what I would do is if you want to fix it, download the demo of some of these applications.
Oh, maybe you can do that.
You know, play with it. Well, to play with it and just see if it works, you know, if it's really going to be worth it. And also, think about whether you're going to use the whole video or what part of the video you might actually use, because a lot of times you want to, in film, when we were working on films, we think in frames. We don't think in, like, hours or minutes. Right. We're like, how many frames do you need? I worked on one shot that was, it took me 9 weeks to work on, do one shot. And people would ask, like, why is it taking you so long? I'm like, wow, it's 236 frames.
Whoa.
And they were like, 200. It was like from Braveheart, like, 200 heavy horse.
But it's really only 10 seconds.
Oh, yeah, it's 10 seconds long. But it was like a 10-second shot for a visual effects artist. It's like forever. So you want to think about, like, am I really going to use, you know, an hour of it? Or am I going to use, is there 3 minutes that were great? And then try to figure out how to fix that.
Fix the smallest amount.
The part that you need to.
You can.
Because you're not really going to watch that.
And really, it's kind of the photographer's rule too. Try to get it right going in, because it's a lot easier to shoot it right than it is to fix it after you shoot it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there are reasons to when they say fix it in post, but those are said by people who have funding.
or and so who don't have to fix it in post.
Oh, you're there. Well, but there's some
better than funding. Minions.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So definitely. If you can't afford to, the best thing to always do is. Yeah, aim, measure twice, cut once.
Cut once, exactly. Go ahead, read yours.
All right, here we go. Hello, I have two desktop Win boxes, both running 8.1. I also have two screens. I want to be able to use both the screens on both the computers independently. So using computer A with screens 1 and 2, then later using computer B with screens 1 and 2. I bought a few Y cables and tried to hook them up. However, I could not get good results. I then purchased a 2-port VGA switch, but it only seems to work when I switch sources after a reboot. I know there is a logical and simple solution, but I cannot wrap my dilettante head around it, Paul.
So you want a KVM switch?
For both of them.
Yeah. Well, one switch. So you got two monitors, two computers, a keyboard, and a mouse. And you treat the two monitors as if one computer has two monitors, right?
Right.
But do you need two KVM switches for dual monitors? Maybe you do.
I think you
That's
do.
An interesting question. But I've never seen a dual monitor
but you
KVM
could just hit,
switch.
You could just hit two buttons. If you had two little KVMs, you could just hit two buttons like that, and it would just swap them.
It swaps them. It's doing basically what you did, Paul, but it does it in sync so that you don't have to, reboot and all of that stuff. And it works very well. IO Gear makes excellent KVM switches.
KVM
We've used
switches.
Those for many years.
And it'll do your mouse as well. So if you want to switch your mouse and keyboard, it'll do that.
You press the button. Now you're using this computer with those two. The two monitors is the only tricky part.
Yep.
If you could do, if you wanted to, which is really cool, is one monitor is one computer, the other monitor is the other computer, and then you could have one keyboard and mouse and use something like Synergy and move your mouse across. That's kind of cool if you've never seen that done. Synergy is a really neat program we've used for years. We started using it on the screensavers. It's still out. In fact, I think what happened, they went commercial, and then there's still you can build your own from the open source project that's out there. But Synergy.
And that'll work if you only care about one screen for each one. If you're trying to do dual monitor
that's
for both computers,
one.
I think that might be the issue.
I wonder, does anybody make a KVM with dual monitors? So many people now use two monitors or more.
You'd think that they would. I don't know. I've never seen one. We've never tried to do that.
You know, Steve Gibson just built his own, not ultimate virtual reality gaming machine, but his own ultimate PC. He says it's my last PC. I want to build a PC that's so good that it'll last 10, 20 years, and I'll never have to build another one.
Good luck.
Good luck. But one of the things he did do is set it up so that he can have not one, not two, but 8 simultaneous screens. He bought dual Quadro cards, each with 4 outputs for 8 screens. It sounds like he's day trading or something. That's crazy.
What's
the most you've ever had?
I don't think we've ever... we've worked with systems that had 12 screens, and so, but the reason that they did that is because we would take if you go to some
like
of these huge conventions, and you go into the keynote, now Apple is pretty basic. They're 16x9 little, they don't do.
They put
a lot.
Them in a Windows on the screen,
but a lot of them will have wraparound screens that are that are 9x64, and what you do is they actually blend those screens together, blend projectors, and the software
they
will
overlap.
Actually, so the software called Spider or Ventus that will blend those those projectors together perfectly.
Oh, neat.
And they actually, and what's crazy is every projector has two projectors just in case one fails.
Wow.
And also so it's really bright. And so then you end up with, and I worked on one that was actually 26 monitors all the way, 26 projectors, 13 pairs all the way around.
Wow.
And then they can literally animate all the way across those, and, you know, and it's pretty cool. That's all I got to say. I mean,
Alex is awesome. He is the production guru, and I love living vicariously through you. You give us such great information every week on Mac Break Weekly, and I love having you on the new Screensavers. And
it's great to be here.
Pixel Core is just going great guns.
It's busy.
It's nice to see
VR.
You. Yeah. Follow Alex. He's on Twitter, and whenever he does something interesting, he tweets about it. LINDSAY. Alex, A-L-E-X, LINDSAY. Thank you for joining me.
Pleasure to be here.
It was a good day to have you on our Gear VR Day. Thanks to our great studio audience. If you want to be in the audience, can't always promise it'll be something as exciting as the Oculus Rift, but you can always email tickets at twit.tv. We'll put out a chair for you. If you can watch live, we love it. 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 2200 UTC. That's when we go live every Saturday afternoon. But on-demand audio and video are always available after the fact. twit.tv/NSS. And, of course, you can subscribe. There's Twit apps everywhere. There's podcasters apps everywhere. You definitely aren't going to want to miss 1 month from now. We're going to do our one-year anniversary. That's the first week in May, episode 52. It will also be, just coincidentally, the 18th anniversary of the launch of the original Screensavers.
Convenient.
May 11th, 1998, Tech TV went on the air. It was ZDTV back then. And so we thought we'd kind of celebrate both our one-year anniversary and the 18th anniversary with Kate Botello. She'll be our guest host. Yeah, I'm very excited. Erin Newcomb is on next week, so if you want to talk about Arduino, I know it was Arduino Day today, and we didn't do any Arduino stuff. We'll do that next week. Raspberry Pi Maker Products Projects. He, of course, runs the Benicia Maker Space and is a great friend of the network. So Erin Newcomb next week on the new Screensavers. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye. Woo! Woohoo!